With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
If I should die, there's our title, before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Where? What will it be like? What's going to happen? This is not the time for pastoral flights of fancy. This is not the time for platitudes. This is not the time for sentimental efforts to comfort, as well-meaning as they may be. We want to know, what does God say to us? What does God reveal to us?
Welcome, and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. To Down in Perspective, Harry Reeder continues our series, Eternity in Biblical Perspective, If I Should Die Before I Wake. Today we come to the second half of the message, Death, What's Next, Part 1. Psalm 23 is one of the famous passages of Scripture in the world. Most of the people you would know would probably recognize these familiar words. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. When the time comes for you to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, will you be able to do so with peace and confidence in the Lord? If you're following along in the scriptures, turn to John chapter 11. Here again is Harry Reeder with the second half of the message, Death, What's Next, Part 1.
I love the way Donald Gray Barnhouse explains this. He said to his grandson one day when he was doing a funeral, and his grandson asked him about this text, about what does it mean, the shadow of death? And he said, well, look, and there he was riding through the streets of Philadelphia, and this gigantic truck pulled up beside them in the noonday sun. And when the truck pulled up, the shadow of that truck just engulfed their car. And he said, son, that truck that just pulled up, it's now dark, isn't it? Why? Well, because the shadow is over us. So the shadow of that truck has hit us, and we hit that shadow, but we're okay. Now, son, if that truck hits us, we're not okay. Apart from Christ, death hits full force with all of its evil. In Christ, you go through the shadow of death. But he's not through. Now look at what else he says. That I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So at death, last breath, there is no evil for the believer. It is translation. And therefore, you go through the shadow of death. Then he says, you don't go through it by yourself. I'll be with you. The Lord will be with his people at that moment. You don't go through this valley alone. He is walking with you through it. His staff and his rod are comforting you. Now, when you walk through it, where are you headed? Well, here's what he says. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. That's the anticipation of that baptism with the Holy Spirit every believer receives that seals us into Christ. The Spirit of God has been poured out of you. You have table fellowship with the Lord here and into eternity at that glorious marriage supper of the Lamb. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Well, what about after that? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, now we're ready for that second text. Take your Bibles and go with me to John 14. We're going to dwell in the house of the Lord, the Lord's house that's prepared for us for all eternity. Would you go with me to John 14? This is one of those I'd give anything to be able to have a captive audience for 2 weeks. I can't, but I will try to keep you building on this as we move into next week. Here's what he says in John 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him. And you've seen him. Why? Because Jesus is the exact representation for you. He has manifested the glory of the Father in your presence. But now, what is he saying? I've got to go. He says, now, I know you're fearful. I know you're troubled about all of this. But I've got to go because when I redeem you here, I've got to finish the work of redemption on you. I have done the work of redemption for you. Now, when I go away, I will do the work of redemption on you by the Holy Spirit to bring you to be with me. Therefore, I am preparing a place. My Father's house, I am preparing a place for you. And what makes it glorious in heaven? You'll be with me. You will be with me forever. Now, I'm going to come back for you. But if you die before he comes back, then I'll bring you to be with me. I'll be with you through that moment, and I'll take you to be with me. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what will happen. Well, if he is going to bring us to be with him, and what makes heaven heaven? Now, I know some of you are going to ask me, and I promise you I'm going to talk about it. You know, is your dog going to be there or not? I promise I'm not going to skip those questions. But what makes heaven heaven's not your dog. And with all due respect, what makes heaven heaven is not even our loved ones. You'll be with me. I'll be with you. You'll be with me. The one that came for you. I'll bring you and walk with you to be with me in the house of the Lord. Forever. If that's true, now we've got the next text to read. Take your Bibles and go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Because of that glorious truth, now we're ready for another truth. Go with me to 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look with me in verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, that's our body, we have a building from God. God is preparing a place, a building for us. This is a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan. When you get my age, you even do a lot more groaning. So there's some groaning in this tent that we're doing, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened. This tent is constantly enduring the physical consequences of the curse of sin. Sickness, pandemic, COVID-19, all of this is here because of the curse of sin, even death itself. And we long to be unburdened by it and to set this cursed tent aside, not to be without a tent, not to be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. This mortal body will become a new tent that is a new body, and it's not mortal, destroyed. It will be transformed and translated into that which is eternal, an eternal body, and that will be swallowed up by life. And he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. How do I know that I'm going to get this new dwelling place that he is preparing for me? Because he has sent the Spirit to me. He is the down payment. He is the guarantee. And remember, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. So the Spirit of God is his guarantee of the fulfillment of this body that is shaped for all eternity. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body. Why? To be at home with the Lord. I'm preparing a place for you, so that where I am, there you may be also. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. What will I want to do in my new body, in the new heavens and the new earth? I want to please him. What do I want to do in this body until I get there? I want to please him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Now, so remember the other, it's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. Who's going to appear at the judgment? Everybody. Now hold on. I don't have time to go there. Let me just give you one sentence. Everyone appears before the judgment seat. And if your name is in the book of life, that judgment will be for stewardship. If your name is not in the book of life, that judgment will be declaring the consequences of sin and condemnation for all eternity. For the believer who is in the book of life, that judgment is for stewardship of our life in Jesus Christ. But until we're there, where we are now is to make it our aim to please him. Now remember one more text I want to ask you to go to for tonight, and that's Philippians chapter 1. Would you go there with me? Philippians chapter 1. Just keep going to your right. Remember the Philippians chapter 1, right after Ephesians. You get to chapter 1. Now you see why Paul is saying what? Remember, if I'm here, I want to please the Lord, but where I long to be is to be with him in that body he's prepared for me, so that I am at home with the Lord. That's why Paul, writing from prison with the possibility of his death from prison, says this. He says in verse 19, he says, "Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance." And then what does he say? "As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. At all times, what I want to do is please him. For to me, to live is Christ. To die is" what? "Gain." To die is gain. "If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart." Why? "I'll be with Christ." Now Christ is with me by his Spirit, but then not by faith, but by sight. I'll be with him. For that is far better. Remember, to live is Christ, to die is what? Gain. Far better. Far. But not just better. Far better. And then what does he say? "But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue to be with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. In other words, what he's saying is this. Look, I am in prison. He could send the death warrant. I could be put to death. I just want you to know that's my desires to go and be with the Lord. But I also have a desire to minister to you. You know, I think what I'm pretty convinced of, he's going to leave me here for your account. Okay, that's fine with me. I love you. But I want you to know if he doesn't, I don't lose. I win. The die is game. So, y'all will remember I had a series of about 8 years where it seemed like I was just going to put the medical community into orbit with surgery after surgery after surgery. I said to Cindy one time, I think the Lord brought me to Briarwood in Birmingham so UAB could operate on me for a while. And so I remember that. Of course, a couple of them were relatively serious. And, I was talking with Cindy about it, and those, my kids, we all talked about it and prayed about it. And I just explained to them, y'all need to know something. If this, the Lord calls me home, if he does, it's okay. I'll miss you, but I'll wait for you. But I win. I don't lose. So if I go under and then go up, I'm okay. That's gain. That's far better. Far better. Now, if he leaves me, that means he's got something for me to do. And that'll be good. That won't be bad. That'll be good. So one of you, who will remain nameless right now, came up to me after I left the hospital and said, well, you seem to be doing well. I said, I am. And they said, well, when you woke up out of anesthesia and found out you were still here, were you disappointed? Well, I appreciated the insightful question. And certainly to a sense. But I said, no, I'm not. Because God's sovereign. If I'd gone, that would be better. But if I'm here, it's for a reason. Now, what I need to do is embrace that reason and that opportunity. This isn't my demotion. This is my call. I got more for you to do. You see, in the sovereign hand of God, even though we know that dying is better because we're with him, he made us to live. That's why we don't go out and grab a knife and stick it in our heart. Well, it'd be better, I'll just go on to heaven. No, we were made to live. That's why even in our last breaths, we're trying to take them. God made us to live for him. If it's here, Christ. If it's there, gain. That's the way he is laying it out for you. Well, I'm out of time. So I'm going to give you a couple of passages of scripture for next week, and you can't miss next week. You can't miss because I've only got half of what I prepared for you. So you got to come back for the second half next week. And when you come back next week, I want you to be ready for Luke 16, and I want you to be ready for Hebrews 12, and I want you to be ready, Hebrews 12, and specifically verses 18 through 24. And I want you to be ready for Matthew chapter 22. And then I want you to be ready for Revelation 7, 9 through 17, which gives you what is happening in the intermediate state. But can I anticipate next week in my closing remarks today from what we have done in laying all this groundwork and this foundation? The intermediate state, in your mind, you're probably thinking, particularly if you've got a loved one that has died. They went to the intermediate state. They're not in the final state. I mean, won't the final state be better? Yeah. But the intermediate state's not bad. It's gain. It's far better. It's not the ultimate better, but it's far better than here. So yes, your loved one's far better. Now listen, I hear people say this all the time. People go through difficult times and say, oh, they've now died. And you know, they were struggling so much, but praise the Lord, they're just tripping on them, running up and down with the angels on the streets of gold. No, they're not. Not yet. Their body's in the grave. Well, where are they? They're in Abraham's bosom. They're in paradise. They're in heaven. That Hades, that place of the dead, that Sheol, has two dynamics. Torment, intermediate judgment, called the abyss, and blessing, comfort, called Abraham's bosom, paradise, heaven. Remember the thief on the cross? I'm a little ahead. Please come back. Remember the thief on the cross? Today you'll be with me where? What does Paul say paradise is? He tells us in 2 Corinthians 12, it's heaven. I was caught up to the heavens, paradise. What is Abraham's bosom? Abraham's in heaven. The Bible tells you that in Hebrews chapter 11. It's another way to say heaven. Let me try to say it this way. When I was growing up, I grew up in the Christian Missionary Alliance Church, and our pastor lived in a parsonage. I got saved in a Reformed Presbyterian Evangelical Synod Church, and the pastor's residence was called a manse. And I remember saying to Cindy, who was Southern Baptist when we got married, "What is a manse?" And she said, "Honey, I don't know, but I think it's the preacher's home." I mean, the bulletin every week is, go to the manse to meet the pastor's wife. And she said, "I think it's a," and I said, "Oh, you mean the parsonage." But I had to go to seminary to get this thing straight. I found out it's the same place. Preacher's house, manse, parsonage. The intermediate state, heaven, Abraham's bosom, paradise, gain, better. What will we be doing? Will we know each other? How will we be able to live when we get to that intermediate state? Okay, Pastor, I'm believing it's better. What will it be like? I'm glad you asked, because that's why we're going to Revelation 7 next week. And we're going to find out seven things about this place that is far better. Then the next week, we're going to find out about the ultimate place, the new heavens and the new earth, where we get a new body for the new heavens and the new earth. But Pastor, that intermediate state, is it bodiless? Yep. Your body's in the grave. It'll stay there until the resurrection. Remember that Apostles' Creed? I believe in the resurrection of the body. I do it time and time again when I do a funeral and I tell everybody there, hey, reason we're here is God's not through yet. They're in the present, absent from the body, present with the Lord, but God's not through yet. He's going to raise this body for a new heavens and a new earth. But what is that joy that I have? What is that gain I have in the intermediate state? What will I be doing? Well, there are three passages of Scripture, and one of them, Revelation 7, that tell us what it is like while we are there in that intermediate state. And it's glorious. It's better than this. Yet there's more to come. So that's where we will be next week. But here's my question. My question is not, are you going to die? My question is, I remember talking with a guy the other day, I was sitting down with him. He said, "Well, you know, preacher, if I die," I said, whoa, wait, before we go any further in this conversation, would you mind repeating that? He said, "If I die," I said, "Well, listen, if Jesus doesn't come back first, you are." So here's my question. Are you ready? Because the next step is going to be a judgment seat. So are you ready at that time? Folks, I can't wait to tell you next week of some of the things we're going to be doing in that intermediate state. But this week, I want to ask you, are you going to be there with the Lord? If you're going to be there with the Lord in that glorious place of paradise in heaven with the thief and all the Old Testament believers and all of those that have died in Christ since he ascended into heaven, if you're going to be there, that means you've got to be in Jesus today. You got to know him. You got to put your trust in him. I want you to be in Christ. That's what makes the intermediate state and the final state the most glorious. We'll be with him for all eternity. New body, new heavens, new earth. The intermediate state, glorious.
Trust completely in the Lord Jesus Christ and his redemptive work, and you will not need to fear when your time comes to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Join us again next time as we continue with our series, Eternity in Biblical Perspective. If I should die before I wake. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request Death, What's Next, Part 1, or simply ask for message number 16057. Again, that's message number 16057. We do request a gift of $5 to help underwrite the cost of the CD. The 20th century saw historic biblical Christianity at war with unbiblical theological liberalism, and the spread of contemporary progressive Christianity in today's evangelical church is the 21st century version of this ongoing spiritual battle. Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth through cultural accommodation. Dr. Harry Reeder's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity and Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith by examining the marks of progressive Christianity. To order your copy of this 9-CD album, Progressive Christianity and Biblical Perspective, go online to briarwood.org/progressive CD. We do hope that In Perspective is encouraging your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'd love to hear back from you. Write to us at In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243, or email inperspective@briarwood.org. Well, join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the scriptures so that we might learn to put life in biblical perspective.